Our featured guest has now arrived, Anthony Turner. It is our first mic check edition in the year 2023. This morning, ladies and gentlemen, Jamaica's business environment in 2023. The challenges, the opportunities, the role of the diaspora, and we're hoping to get the path forward. Joining us this morning will be Senator the Honorable Auburn Hill, Minister of Industry, Investment and Commerce. Anthony, please do the honors and introduce the guests.
Yes, Rasta, we feel honored to have our special guest on Mic Check this morning. As you said, it's Senator the Honorable Auburn Hill, Minister of Industry, Investment and Commerce. And Minister Hill, he has over 35 years of working experience in the private sector. He has lived in all of 9 countries, and he has done business in more than 115. And with a Harvard Business School MBA, Senator Hill spent 21 years as a banker in the Middle East. And in 2002, he also led the management team, which completed the successful turnaround of one of the largest banks in the Caribbean. We're talking about NCB. And in 19 months, he and his team moved NCB's stock price from $5.51 to all of $31.70. And in March 2016, he was appointed by Prime Minister Andrew Holness to the Senate. And he was subsequently elected as the Deputy President of the Senate. And in 2017, he was chosen as the CEO of the Prime Minister's Economic Growth Council. And after Prime Minister Holness was returned to lead the country in 2020, he invited Senator Hill to join his cabinet in the Ministry of Economic Growth and Job Creation. And on January 11, 2022, Minister Hill was appointed Minister of Industry, Investment and Commerce with responsibility for 22 agents and departments, including JAMPRO, the Cannabis Licensing Authority, Trade Board Limited, Companies Office of Jamaica, Consumer Affairs Commission, and the Bureau of Standards. So we welcome Minister Hill to Grooving Radio this Saturday morning.
And we welcome the Senator, the Honorable Senator, Mr. Auburn Hill. Good morning, Mr. Hill. How are you?
What a pleasure to be on. I am very well. Listen to me. I have to tell you that as I look through my window, I played tennis this morning, and Jamaica's weather is amazingly wonderful. It is cool. The sun is bright. It's getting a little warmer now. But Jamaica is in good fashion this morning. I'm very pleased to be on your program today.
Well, we're very pleased to have you here, and we're going to dig into your Harvard education background this morning. We're going to dig into it a little bit. But you lived in so many places, and I mean, your experience, it speaks for itself. And as we welcome you as our first mic check guest in the year 2023, it is just fitting that we look at Jamaica and the role that the diaspora play in terms of business, because I'm not sure that without the diaspora, where Jamaica would be today. So as we kick off this presentation, Senator Hill, Jamaica's business environment in 2023. Give us a report card on Jamaica industry and commerce sector for the year 2022 first. Just give us a brief report card there.
Let me tell you how that run. It is such a good story. Here it is. Mm-hmm. In fiscal year 2020-2021, and then 2021-22, just that's up to April this year, we had a growth rate of 8.2%, which is amazing. This year up to September, in the fiscal year, current fiscal year up to September, our growth rate is up to 5.7%. Now, this is, you have to remember that Jamaica, the average growth rate of Jamaica for 50 years or so before 2016 was about 1% or just less. So we have done amazing. Now, sure, we're bouncing back from the pandemic. We got a dip. But Prime Minister Andrew Holness promised that there was going to be a J-curve recovery.
Mm-hmm.
So we meandered down for a little bit, and then, like the upwards part of the hockey stick, we took off.
Mm-hmm.
8.2% last year, 5.7%. And now this 5.7% is in addition to that's on top of what we did last year.
Mm-hmm.
So we are doing very, very well this year.
What were some of the challenges you faced in 2022? And give us something significant in terms of your biggest success in 2022.
The biggest success, I think we have to say, is the actual growth rate.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a number of them.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is that we survived. We survived going through the pandemic
mm-hmm.
for 3 years, and by 2022, we're into the third year.
Right.
Without borrowing, whenever, if there's a hard rain that used to pass Jamaica,
mm-hmm.
we'd have to go borrow money sometimes, almost beg it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to, you get your debt up to a place where you can't manage it.
Mm-hmm.
Unemployment takes place. So here's what has happened.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't borrow any money during that pandemic period. But better yet, since 2016, when Andrew Holness took over the government in February of 2016, the Andrew Holness administration has not raised any taxes on Jamaicans.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's 7 years without increase in taxes. That's really unheard of in much of Jamaica's history.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big thing. But we did better than that. We reduced the income tax. So we took away income tax for people who earn $1.5 million or less. And then we reduced the GCT tax, which was 16.5%, by 1.5% mm-hmm. down to 15%. So those two benefits are benefits that you get every single day.
Right.
But in addition to that, our tourism industry recovered significantly. Ed Bartlett, our Minister of Tourism for the World,
mm-hmm.
Has done a tremendous job in working with the diaspora, working with our present partners, the United States, Canada, mm-hmm. Europe, elsewhere, Spanish especially, and even the Middle East is opening new markets there.
Indeed.
So that has done well. But the what you call the BPO business, which we now call the Global Digital Services business,
mm-hmm.
at the end of 2019, just before the pandemic hit, we had 43,000 employees in that sector. Today we have about 60,000 and growing.
Mm.
So we've recorded some successes. Our oil prices was a bit of a shock last year.
Right.
We couldn't help that because of what happened in Ukraine and what is happening in Ukraine. But we managed it.
Mm-hmm.
But we have challenges in exports.
Indeed.
We need to grow that.
Indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Grooving Radio. We are in our featured segment, Mic Check, our first mic check in the year 2023. Our very special guest this morning is Senator the Honorable Auburn Hill. He is the Minister of Industry, Investment and Commerce in Jamaica. And the subject matter this Saturday morning, Jamaica's business environment, the role of the diaspora, the challenges, the opportunities, and a path forward. Senator Hill, even though you did not borrow, Jamaica did not borrow any money throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. I must say, though, Jamaica got about $1 billion from different sources here overseas, and I'm pretty sure that that really helped well. And then, coupled with the assistance and the help coming from the diaspora, I was very pleased to see how Jamaica fared throughout the pandemic, because the pandemic, and it's ongoing. Now we're seeing a triple-demic. It's the worst flu season in almost 10 years
yeah.
here in the United States. We have the RSV virus, and now there's a new COVID variant that is wreaking, they call it hell, in somewhere over there in Europe and China. And we have to still pay attention to what's going on. So it's good to see how Jamaica fare. No.
I'd like to mention something about the diaspora
mm-hmm.
before we even go any further.
Mm-hmm.
The diaspora is a vital part of Jamaica's economy and economic stability.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feature in one of the stats of the GDP because it comes into families
mm-hmm.
most often.
Mm-hmm.
From family members to family.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a tremendous fillip to the economy because those family members spend it in the economy. The government gets to get GCT for sure, which is one sure way. No matter what you do, you have to eat, you have to buy gas sometimes, and all of that you pay GCT on. Mm-hmm. So the money from the diaspora, and one time it was as high as $2 billion, a little bit less maybe now, or back up because they, you know, we're coming through the economy, mm-hmm. through the pandemic. So the diaspora has been very good. I tell you what, mm-hmm. I have 20 agencies in the Ministry of Industry, Investment and Commerce. Some of them were named JAMPRO, JIPO, mm-hmm. the Trade Board, and so on. Anyone that comes up with a CEO's mm-hmm. contract is expired or somebody resigns at that top, I have asked the permanent secretary. Sometimes you have to go through the process with the government and the people who recruit. But I've asked that every single job be advertised in the diaspora, mm. in Atlanta, in Miami, in New York, in Toronto, in London, so that every Jamaican that is overseas will have a chance. You know, they said to me, "Well, you can't pay them." I said, "Oh yes, I am back home, and I won't even tell you the kind of salaries that I would have earned overseas.
I'm not
back home only because of the money. Mm. There are people who are at certain stages in their lives and say, look, we've lived well. Mm. We want to get back into a place where we can help and have an effect on policy and how the government is run. And frankly, coming in through the agencies that are in the ministries is a good place to where you can make affect important decisions. Mm-hmm. So some people in the diaspora, at a certain stage in their life with the kind of experience that they have, will want to come home even if we are not exactly price competitive on salaries. So I've instructed that our agencies must advertise overseas so that the diaspora can know and can have a chance to decide if they want to come back and help us through that avenue.
You know, and I applaud you for that. And I hope those who are responsible for Jamaica's business overseas are paying attention and listening, because, Anthony, we're one of those programs that have always said that.
Advocated for this, yeah.
Yes, we have always advocated for this. And the mere fact that you even went where you went just now, my next question to you was going to be, what accommodations or incentive is the government of Jamaica undertaking to encourage diaspora investment from Jamaicans, especially in certain areas like tourism, etc.? That was going to be my next question, because sometimes these undertakings are typically reserved for foreign investors. So what accommodations and incentive is the government currently undertaking to encourage Anthony Turner and myself here, Senator Hill, to do business in Jamaica?
All right, here's how we do it. I have been looking at the logistics center in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. It's the Jamaica Special Economic Zone, mm-hmm. Is in my ministry. Mm-hmm. We all know that sugar is gone.
Yeah,
sugar probably should have been gone long before. We're losing $5 billion a year from taxpayers' money to subsidize it.
Mm-hmm.
We know that much of our commercial agriculture, like banana and so on, has been reduced if it's not completely gone. Sugar is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to find avenues to replace and enhance our economy.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally, we don't have the landmass of China, the United States and Canada and so on, and Russia, of course. Nor do we have at all the minerals that the United States, Canada and Russia possess.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Singapore didn't have them either.
Right.
Japan doesn't have any iron ore, and they are the biggest car manufacturers and some of the biggest equipment sellers in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what they have is their people. So now we have, you remember when I mentioned BPO just now, I mentioned the Global Digital Service.
Right.
Well, the cabinet has set up a Global Digital Service Task Force, which I chair.
Mm-hmm.
And I am ensuring that Jamaicans get the digital training. Every Jamaican, we have at present in this GDSS, a cohort of about 665
mm-hmm.
People. We have graduated two classes of about 115, 119 each
mm-hmm.
so far. But every one of them, when I took over at the task force, they had training and we borrowed money from the IDB to train them, and there was nothing about certification. I said, every single Jamaican that goes through this must be certified. In fact, to the point where you could naturally put fit for export on their forehead so they can work in Jamaica, of course, first. Right. But they could work in Saudi Arabia, they could work in the United States, Netherlands, wherever, depending on how the world develops. Mm. But we're training people primarily to make the workforce be available in Jamaica. Why? Because we're now at our lowest unemployment figure in the history of the country, about 6%, maybe just north of 6%. Mm. And people are finding it hard to find people. So what were we inviting diaspora to do? Now that we've moved away from the big commercial farm agriculture, mm-hmm. there is a great deal of agro-processing that can be done. Mm. We have mangoes. We're looking at growing more orchard crops, not just mangoes and akis, but avocado, breadfruit. Breadfruit is a big product that people want. You can make flour, you can fry it, you can do whatever you want, and all the diaspora wanted. Avocados. Mm-hmm. We have some of the best avocados, and because we're so close, you can fly it in 75 minutes to the United States. But we haven't developed the orchard. Those are areas where the diaspora understand what the market wants, mm-hmm. because you live over there, and you know how Jamaicans can grow it. Now, you come back home, work with the Ministry of Agriculture, work with the Ministry of Industry, Investment, and Commerce, all our agencies that are there to help you, and you can so get into that farming area. Mm. But you can also get, and those are exports, ready for export, because I'm going to tell you about exports in a bit, but we have to make sure that we are producing a lot more so we can export a lot more. Mm. But also, the services business, the movie industry, Minister Nigel Clark and myself had a private discussion recently. He's going to rejig how we look at providing incentives for movie
production
for companies who want to do movies, movie mm-hmm. production companies. Mm-hmm. He and his Ministry of Art Finance are looking at that. I'm sure he'll make an announcement mm-hmm. in the not too distant future. Mm-hmm. We will be collaborating, of course, through JAMPRO mm-hmm. and other agencies in this ministry. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at those kind of ways mm-hmm. to provide incentives. But also, when you come home and look at what we can do in terms of hospitality, mm-hmm. in the special economic zone,
right,
there's no place that I know in the world right now that you can have 15 or 20 acres of covered exhibition center where you get onto a golf cart mm-hmm. on one day, and 3 days later, right. you can suit out a 2,500-room hotel with everything except staff.
Right,
we want to
right.
make sure that that logistics center mm. is in Jamaica. So those are some of the opportunities that are open to the diaspora. I will be leading trade delegations to many of your cities right. coming up in the first part of this year.
You know, Senator Auburn Hill, sounds good. Sounds great. And Anthony, these are some of the conversations we have long been waiting for. But here's something I want to say. I don't have an Harvard degree, but I'm going to give you my little 2 cents here. Because you mentioned... You mentioned JAMPRO. And you mentioned the word collaboration. No, here's my advice. And this is my advice to you, Senator Hill, and my good
Just
Senator...
Give it to me straight.
And my good senator friend down there in the Senate with you, my good friend Mr. Don Webby. We have to collaborate. You guys should collaborate more outside of JAMPRO. There's so many more beyond JAMPRO that you guys can collaborate with here in the diaspora. And it's just like this morning, I was having a conversation with Dr. Trevor Dixon from the Jaja Foundation. They're collaborating with the American Friends of Jamaica on bringing down handheld ultrasound units. Machine, and Jaja Foundation will train the medical experts on the ground. The American Friends of Jamaica is funding these handheld ultrasound, and that's through a great collaboration. So now here it is. Bullseye Marketing and Promotion has collaborated with Grace Foods in presenting the annual pen release. And I mention this because when...
I was at the pen relay as your guest last year with Prime Minister Holness.
Okay, and you came to the Grace Village. That was we...
Indeed, we did.
It was we who collaborated with Grace Foods, and we have, and Bullseye have collaborated with Grace Food over the years to execute this event. So there is more than Jam Pro to collaborate with because you have to spread it. And now you talk about advertising. This is where it is going to work for Jamaica. Because if the diaspora does not know what's happening, how are they going to play a part, Anthony? So the advertising part of it is going to be key. So Senator Hill...
I'm going to do more than that.
As we have this... Yes, go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
No. You finish your thought. Sorry, I thought you were
As we have this conversation this morning and we're taking notes, we want to ensure that when we're finished with this, in the near future... we can have Finance Minister Nigel Clark come on and talk to us. You talk about your agricultural product, the Old Farmers Association here. Jamaica needs to collaborate with the whole Farmers Association here. That's another good collaboration that we can use in terms of our agricultural products and how they get here. Advertise again, and they get sold in the market.
I tell you, I mentioned just now trade delegations.
Indeed.
Let me tell you why I am... focusing on that. I went to Guyana in October. I took 38 people from Jamaica. About five or six of them were government. The rest were all private sector.
Right.
It went so well. Guyana, of course, has declared that they have 16 billion barrels of oil. Now, when the powers that be declare 16 billion, you can imagine that exploration continues. So there will be more to talk about. But Guyana is a country of 83,000 square kilometers, a whole half of a continent, sort of. And they have only 780,000 Guyanese. So we went there. The business-to-business meetings were exceptionally well, so much so that we were invited back. And I'm taking a delegation this time of 60 companies, maybe as many as 100 people, going with us or more. This time, we're going to see various ministers. We're setting up a number of B2B meetings. The agencies in the ministry are arranging this, as well as the permanent secretary and my staff in the ministry. Jamper, of course, is taking a lead. But let me tell you what is happening. As I come in, and remember now, you in my introduction, you mentioned how many years I've been in the private sector. And I'm about, and in the financial sector of the private sector, where you have to be efficient or you can't last.
Indeed.
So I'm looking at the agencies that we have and look at the results that we've had, and many of them have to be repurposed. Now, I'm not, that doesn't mean that things didn't go well, but when we look at where our exports are, let me give you an idea where our exports are. If we do not repurpose our agencies and get them to redirect their efforts and focus a lot more on growing our exports and other aspects of our economy, we're just wasting taxpayers' money, and I'm not into that kind of business.
That's right.
Let me tell you where our in 2021 we imported $5.975 billion U.S. dollars worth of goods and services. Listen to our exports. During that, in that year in 2021, if that's a calendar year, we exported $1.441 billion U.S. dollars. The shortfall is $4.5+ billion U.S. dollars. In other words, we import over $4.5 billion more than we export. But that might be bad if it was 1 year. But listen to this, gentlemen. I asked my research team at the ministry. Remember, I joined now in January last year. I said, go look at the trade figures. We're celebrating our 60th anniversary in July, in August, sorry. Come look at the 60 years. Look at the figures, the trade figures from 1960. Well, when you look at the trade figures for 1960, it's only 1 year that we have that we exported more than we imported. And that year was 1966. Did you hear me?
Wow.
1966. So you can't be surprised when we had 50 years of 1% or less economic growth.
Indeed.
So you now know that that trade gap has to be filled.
Indeed.
No, there's no way we're going to just set up a JAMPRO office or a Jamaica Business Development Corporation office or any other agency office in a city and believe that you're going to change your trade figures dramatically. No. The minister and his team must get out, because when we go to a trade mission, doors open that not even our biggest businessmen sometimes can open. Mm. Because we go government to government, we go ministry to ministry, we have access that they don't have. But when we open the door, they're right there with us, right with us, and then we can make sure the connections are made. So I'll be coming to your city, mm-hmm. going to Atlanta, Florida, mm-hmm. going to Toronto, to make sure, apart from, of course, going to Guyana, Trinidad, Dominica, and so on, to make sure that we lead the government ministry. This is the Ministry of Business. That's what I call it.
Indeed.
The Ministry of Business leads our business team to make sure we improve our trade arrangements and increase our exports. So the diaspora is a very big part of my plan.
Indeed. Senator Hill, the computers are going to take over in about 40 seconds. We're going to we're going to take a 4-minute break. After the break, when we come back, think about this. I want to talk about any long-term strategy that you have, Jamaica has, to reduce poverty in Jamaica as the economy grows. Think about that when we come back after the 11 o'clock hour, and that's where we're going to start. And Anthony, line your questions up, please, for Senator Aubryn Hill. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome again to our first Saturday morning broadcast in the year 2023. Stay where you are. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Hello, reggae fans. This is Toots from Toots of the Mater saying tune in. One time. Hey, let's get grooving.
And thank you so much, Uncle Tootsie Barrett, for bringing us up for the final 25 minutes of our Grooving Radio's presentation here on WVIP 93.5 FM this Saturday morning, our first production on a Saturday morning in the year 2023. We are in our featured segment. It is called My Check. The conversation this morning, Jamaica's business environment, the role of the diaspora, the challenges, the opportunities, and we're looking for a path forward in the year 2023. Our guest this morning, Senator the Honorable Aubryn Hill, Minister of Industry, Investment and Commerce. Anthony Turner, our writer, is also a part of the conversation. Welcome back, Senator Hill.
Ross and Tony, good to be back.
Indeed. Anthony, welcome back.
Yes.
Okay, I have one more question, Anthony, and then I'm going to turn the microphones over to you for your question for Senator Aubryn Hill. Before we took the break, Senator, I gave you a little thing to think about. Talk to us about short-term, long-term, anyone, strategy, to reduce poverty in Jamaica as the economy grows in Jamaica. We still have many folks in Jamaica living at or below the poverty level. Any strategy, what are the strategies there that, the team has to improve poverty in Jamaica?
One of the first things that you do to decrease poverty
mm-hmm.
is you increase employment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we came to government, my recollection, don't have the figure right before me now, but I believe unemployment was as high as about 13.5%,
mm-hmm.
last numbers we had for 2015.
Mm-hmm.
We took over in February 2016. We're now down to about 6%.
Great.
That's chopping it in half
mm-hmm.
in those years. So you have reduced your unemployment, your unemployment significantly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're in an emerging market and you're at 6%,
mm-hmm.
unemployment, you're getting tight on having enough people in the workforce. So we know we have about 300,000 or 400,000 people, 300,000 or 400,000 people who, are in sidewalks, boys who are needing things in their hand, you know what I mean, and they're not working,
mm-hmm.
but they're also, many of them have left school,
mm-hmm.
and they become the foot soldiers for activities that are illegal and criminal and sometimes brutal.
Right.
We are now looking at using hard trust And we at the Ministry of Heart Trust is in the Prime Minister's Ministry. Mm-hmm. We in the Ministry of Industry, Investment and Commerce, coordinating through the Global Digital Services sector that I mentioned earlier, the task force that I lead, mm-hmm. are coordinating and collaborating very closely with HART. In fact, that delegation I told you that is going to Guyana with us on the 23rd of this month. Mm-hmm. HART, the head of HART, two senior executives from HART are going with us. So we are looking to train a lot more Jamaicans so that they can get jobs, to get on that ladder of moving away from poverty.
Indeed.
Then, of course, as you train, as you give people more training, they become more skilled, they can command better salaries. And as the economy grows, and we expect to continue to have the economy grow, we can't predict what 2023 will bring. People are talking about recession mm-hmm. in our biggest partner market, in your market. Mm-hmm. We don't know what will happen. Right. But and while we don't predict the future, we certainly can train for it.
Indeed.
We certainly can prepare our people for it. Mm-hmm. And we believe that the first step is to get them employed, especially our young people,
that's
where
right.
they begin to save and understand that they have a part in the Jamaican society and the Jamaican economy.
Mm-hmm.
But also to look at encouraging business to do their own training
right.
and rewarding appropriately the people who are trained.
I like that training. We have to drill it in them. We must train more people, and we must get them professionally trained. Anthony Turner.
Yesterday, I was at a business house was celebrating their 50 years, mm-hmm. and of course, it will be on the press. So I made sure I drilled it home. I said the government is training.
Mm-hmm.
We borrowed this $15 million from IDB to train in this particular era,
mm-hmm.
but our biggest spend in this country is on education apart from paying back our debt.
Mm.
So we are in the business of training. And I said to the business community, frankly, I come out of you and you don't train enough.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you do, actually. You know, mm-hmm. people like Grace, they're always stealing people from Grace, Jamaica Brothers Group or Cinco,
indeed.
Because they're good. But
indeed.
We need a lot more people who will train their people like these big firms do.
Mm-hmm.
And small ones have to understand it's an investment that they're making in their people.
Mm, and tell my friend over there at the Ministry of Education, and also tell the PM, we got to invest more in technical institutions in Jamaica. We have one former College of Hard Science and Technology, now the University, UTEC University. We need, on the university level, we need some more technical institutions there.
You're missing out on CMU.
Mm-hmm.
And the university in Mandeville, those guys have been competing at the global stage with Google and so on. I know of two students that left CMU, Caribbean Maritime University, and competed mm-hmm. in Paris this summer
mm-hmm.
to build robots.
Great.
So CMU is picking that up, and yes, the Prime Minister and us, we need a lot more engineers of all kinds.
Definitely.
Electrical, mechanical, and of course, industrial engineers.
Indeed. Anthony yes. Turner, the floor is yours.
Good morning again, Senator Hill. Two topics that you address, I wanted to expound on it a bit. The first is about the sugar cane industry. For many years, we were leaders in that industry. As you said, it seems as if we're moving away from that. I was in Jamaica in December, in Westmoreland, and a lot of the lands that were sugarcane lands, they just lie idle. So I wanted to know, what was the plan to reuse or repurpose some of those lands for other crops? And I was also thinking about the whole, you know, the alcohol and those type of stuff that, you know, byproducts from sugarcane. How are they going to survive if we're not producing sugarcane? And the second question is about tourism, which you spoke about, and you gave kudos to our minister, Ed Bartlett. When I was there, I was told that the black Americans, they're traveling to Jamaica in droves. What do you attribute this large number of black Americans traveling to Jamaica to?
Well, the first thing, let me deal with the black Americans. People travel when they have money and they have time. So, compliments to your economy, where black Americans work, that they now have money, but also they are looking outside. Remember, with the pandemic, you have long supply chains and you have long travel times. to go to Asia, even to Europe. Europe, now you have a war over there with Mr. Putin doing his thing in Ukraine, which is not at all attractive. And black Americans feel very comfortable in Jamaica. We make them very comfortable in Jamaica. You come here and you see people like you looking like you in leadership positions. And truth is, when you come here, we don't make any fuss about whether you're black or white or green or otherwise. We welcome everybody. We don't have paparazzi mess up your life. We give you good food. And very often black Americans, the ones that come and those who don't, have some connection, maybe two generations back to Jamaica. So it makes sense. And look, man, look at how close we are to you. Anything happens, you can go back and forth quite quickly. So Jamaica, and maybe one of the good things of the pandemic is that people used to look to go all over the world. Now say, boy, you know, I'd better stay because I don't even know when this thing will break out. 2 months ago, one of our biggest countries in the world was on lockdown. Now they're opening up, and you see what is happening in terms of the spread of diseases. So you see that people are being more cautious. Jamaica handled the pandemic well. We're not boasting, but when we look at people around us, how they have done, people farther afield, how they have done with much more resources than we have, many more skilled people than we have, and yet Andrew Holness and his cabinet, and really led by the Prime Minister, Chris Tufton as the Minister of Health, and his team were right up front there. Right. We have managed this well, and we're coming out, not out of it yet, but so far, many, many Americans, not just black Americans, a lot of white ones came before and they're still coming, but a lot more black Americans are seeing Jamaica as a destination of choice, and it's a good choice.
You know, Senator Hill, you mentioned when black Americans come to Jamaica and they see people like them in leadership position. I wonder if you know that was one of the attraction of Martin Luther King, that when he first came to Jamaica, he said Jamaica was one of the first countries that he traveled to that he saw leaders that actually looked like him and could.
And he was so comfortable with it.
He was so comfortable with it. So that was a good segue. But and the next part of it, though, Anthony and Senator Hill, I know you once worked for Michael Lee Chin, with Michael Lee Chin. And Anthony mentioned,
I worked for him and then I worked with him.
Indeed. Indeed. And Anthony mentioned the fact that those lands down in Westmoreland, prime farmlands. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because I would not want to see what is happening in Bernard Lodge, Inwood Estate, where a lot of those prime agricultural land are now turned into housing development. So it's kind of important that we know what is going to happen to those sugarcane lands as they lay down there in Westmoreland. Nothing has been happening to them. Go ahead.
It's interesting. Mm-hmm. Two questions that you ask come together. The first question that was put to me in this segment is, how are you looking at people moving out of poverty?
Indeed.
Well, I answered that. Mm-hmm. And we continue to do a lot more work to make sure a lot more Jamaicans are better off than they have been in the past. But when people get better off, they want to live in houses, and the truth is our housing stock is very low. So government has to constantly be balancing. How do you balance the need for housing, and where do you put them? And yet there's a need for agriculture and growing food to feed ourselves and to export. But part of what will help, Tony and Ross, is when people like you from the diaspora look at what, as I mentioned to you, I mentioned orchard crops, and those take time to come, but you have to have build the orchards. I mentioned agro-processing. Every year we waste tons and millions of mangoes, and they're just ready to be processed.
Indeed.
But nobody from the diaspora, and all I grew up with, if you grew up in Jamaica, I have to switch into a little bit of country.
Indeed.
If you grew up in Jamaica, you know that we have lots of mangoes between June and July, August.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't set up any agro-processing. St. Elizabeth, where I come from, tons of mangoes. And there is where the the diaspora could come in, because you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I learned through this that mango juice is one of the base of most of the juices, except possibly orange, that we drink.
Indeed.
All the mixed juice,
mm-hmm.
mango is in there. So there's a business there waiting to be done. And this is where the diaspora can come in. And when you come in and build a business, people get more money, they live better. Some lands will have to go for housing, but if you're using it for agriculture and making money out of it, nobody's going to take the land from you or buy it from you.
Mm-hmm.
So I suggest that that's now where the diaspora needs to collaborate with us,
mm-hmm.
and say, look, we've been talking about this for a long time, we're coming to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I come on trade mission, or before I come,
mm-hmm.
please come on down.
Indeed.
And work these lands, which are really good land. But in the meantime, there is an investor looking at a bamboo production for paper and paper products, and they're looking at significant amount of what would have been sugar land,
mm-hmm.
Because of course bamboo is a grass,
mm-hmm.
a big grass,
right.
Which will grow in similar lands as sugar. So there are opportunities that are opening up, but I'd love to see more of the diaspora coming in, and especially moving from just basic agriculture to agro-processing, which you guys have the skill
and
can get the skill to bring.
Indeed. Well, before we wrap up, let me say this. When you go back to the Senate, I have a little private conversation with my friend Don Webby. Tell him you were on Grooving Radio. Tell him you had a long conversation with Ras Klim. And we're going to have to, the path forward is more collaboration. That's one. More collaboration.
Much more.
Much, much more collaboration. And we here in New York.
Before you go any further, I want to give credit to Don.
Yeah.
My colleague in the Senate, Don Webby, Senator Webby,
mm-hmm.
For chairing JAMPRA for 6 years.
Indeed.
He led JAMPRA as the chairman.
Mm-hmm.
He's now moved on, and we have a new chairman in Mrs. Melanie Subrati,
mm-hmm.
who is part of the Mutton Face the Commodity Group.
Right.
So we have another wonderfully good chairman, young, strong, bright, really connected and hard driving. But mm-hmm. Don led JAMPRA for all those years, and I want to take this opportunity to thank him. But also, he will send me a clip of this broadcast so I can use different parts of it and share it. I'll have a challenge for
you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We have the Jamaica Special Economic Zone that I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
We have about 650 acres of land, former sugar land,
mm-hmm.
right near the port.
Mm-hmm.
A stone's throw from the port. So it's going to be linked to the port. That's 650 acres of land. We want a master developer
mm-hmm.
to come and develop that special economic zone so you can, that master developer could lease land to the hospitality logistics center that I mentioned earlier.
Right.
You could set up another pharmaceutical logistics center where we're so close to the United States. When there's an issue with health,
mm-hmm.
they don't want their medicine to be coming from China and India anymore. They want to know that it might actually originate from there, but they want to know it's... And in Kingston, Jamaica, pick mm-hmm. up a phone call, 75 minutes in the United States. We bring the medicines, the farmers from pharmaceutical products from Switzerland, Japan, wherever they come from,
mm-hmm.
have them in Jamaica. So that's another logistics center. You have the oil services center. There's Venezuela, of course, Guyana is growing. Service to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
People from the Middle East want to do business, but they would find it easier in Jamaica. So we're looking for a master developer. Now, it doesn't have to be one developer. It could be a consortium,
a group
of people.
Indeed.
That's probably going to be about $200 million investment. Now, when that goes to some foreign firm, because I'm agnostic as to the investor as long as they have clean money.
Mm-hmm.
But I would prefer for it to go to Jamaicans and certainly Jamaicans in the diaspora.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm putting the challenge here
mm-hmm.
that a consortium could be put together to come in, look at the wonderful lands that came on. It's right next to the port. Professor Shirley, Gordon Shirley. The chairman,
mm-hmm.
is actually the chairman of the enterprise team leading this, but as a minister and the minister responsible for a special economic zone, I have a keen interest in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm putting out the challenge to your listeners and the investors in the diaspora. So don't make somebody else come get it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to have a 50-year lease on it. The lease will be renewable. You're going to get, if all the rent that comes in from the rental of the properties will be tax-free for the negotiated period, and that period could be as long as 50 years, depending on negotiation.
Indeed.
Any other income that you get that is not rental would be taxed at 12.5%, or even lower, depending on how many Jamaicans employ. It right. could go down to 7.75%. Right. So it's a great opportunity for diaspora investors to come back to Jamaica uh-huh. and really help build out this part of our economy.
Indeed. I thank you so much, Senator Aubryn Hill, for joining us this Saturday morning. I hope it was worth your time. Speaking of medicine, I got to send a shout out this morning to Dr. Glenford Christian, the man down there. Who's doing a fantastic job. He's one of those Jamaicans that, we need to applaud more and more.
He has done well.
Indeed.
And keeps doing good.
Indeed. Indeed. Doctor, I must say again, thank you so much, Aubryn Hill, for joining us this Saturday morning. As a matter of fact, someone just texted me this fantastic production this Saturday morning, eye-opening interview. That was an Ardenites. Melvin Jones from Connecticut got a call from Georgia, who said, please bring back Mr. Aubryn Hill. The conversation is very, very interesting this morning. So we have these conversation, eye-opening conversation, Aubryn Hill, because we want to ensure that we keep the diaspora in tune. We keep Jamaica in tune, and our mission here at Grooving Radio is to always move our community and country forward first. What we do here is for community and for country. So we thank you so much, Senator Aubryn Hill, and definitely you'll get a copy of the presentation sometime later
on
today.
Send me a copy.
Indeed.
And I must say thanks to Karen Dunkley and the others who helped to arrange this. Thank you so much for having me on.
Indeed. Senator Aubryn Hill, thank you very, very much. Have a blessed day, and we'll talk soon, sir.
All right. Bye-bye. Senator.
One love, one love. Anthony, our first production on Saturday morning, mic check, is in the bag, and it's another one that the community really appreciate, love. So we must say thank you to our guest this morning, Senator, the Honorable Mr. Aubryn Hill, a Harvard grad, Anthony Turner. Thank you so much, Anthony, for your contribution. Until next week, huh?
All right, you take care, man.
One love, one love. Ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of our first Saturday morning production. Waiting on the other side of the 11:30 hour, it is going to be the Wake Up Radio team. Hope we can work together some more this year. The jam comes in at 1, link up at 6, sound chat at 8 p.m. Grooving Radio was executively produced by Clement Hume and Christopher Roberts. Grooving Radio was hosted by Ras Clem. Contributing to a presentation this morning musically, one of Rolling Stone's 200 best singers of all time, Luciana, was our musical guest this morning. In our community engagement segment, Dr. Trevor Dixon joined us from the Jaja Foundation. For news this morning, 5 types of people that you should avoid and you must avoid. Anthony Turner joined us for Entertainment Report, and he also produces the bio for our very special mic check guest this Saturday morning, Senator Aubryn Hill, our first guest in 2023. Remember this, ladies and gentlemen, the American Foundation for the University of the West Indies, they are reminding you that come April 20th. Yes, it is going to be their annual 26th Legacy Gala. The gala and the legacy continues. 212-759-9345. That's 212-759-9345. My name is Ras Clem. I will rejoin you tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. Peace, love, and blessings. My message this morning, as men, we should uplift other men. It is wrong. It is bad for us to keep tearing down each other as men. As we move forward, let's uplift another brother. My name is Ras Clem. On the other side of the 11:30 hour, it's going to be the Wake Up Radio team. One love.